Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. I love the Lord my God and King. The more I learn Him, the more I love Him. And He gave me a new confession this morning. I woke up and He said, "Say, everything of Jesus increases in me." And that's the most perfect confession I ever confessed. Well, it's up there with the one when I said I would do all this in God's heart. But think about it. Everything of Jesus increases in me. That means all of my abilities to receive His word increases when I say that in faith. And I mean that in faith. This is why I do it. We are strong in Him. So many times people learn the word of God like a college student. College students, they learn information for the sake of their career, and it does greatly increase their abilities and their skill set. And that's a way to do it. But to be strong in the Lord is to receive His word. That's where your faith comes from. And the strength of your faith is the more God's word you receive, the more faith you'll have, the more your abilities and faith will also increase. If you want to have great faith, add to your faith virtue. Virtue is the living word of God inside your heart. You have to be receptive. And, you know, that's the first step. But see, the word of God is the knowledge of love. So when you're in agreement with love, you're in agreement with the word, and you're in covenant with God, you can't fail. And the more of God's word, see, when the word of God sets us free, and our hatred for the wrong things also can increase. And the proverb said, the evil way and the froward way I hate. You can hate the world system. And John said it this way. He said, "Love not the world." So hatred is very important also, and it can increase. But it's hatred of the world system, not people now. It's the hatred of the world system. And I want to make sure that I despise everything that is of Satan. And I thank God that I can. Through Christ, I can do this. Because in Christ, all things are possible to those that believe. And if I can ask it or think it, I can have it. Because the word said He can do greater than what you can ask or think. And somewhere along the way, I used to add the word imagine. But anyway, but that's not the scripture. So if I can ask or think it, that does include imagination. So if I can ask or think it, I can have it. So I believe in increasing. Through covenant, we can. Anybody can. Jesus didn't die just for me and my friends. He died for every soul. He died for our enemies. He died for people that we don't like. He died for people, for every president. Jesus died for all of them. So harboring animosity and retaining people's sin is out of the question to me. I don't care who you are, what you did wrong. The Lord died to save you. I may not like what you did. I may wish you was dead. I'm capable of doing something like that. When people that hurt little children, you know, I have to work on, you know, those that are involved with child traffic. I hate that. If I saw somebody doing that, I'd beat their mind. But nevertheless, I still have to. I'm obligated to tell people that Jesus died to save you. He died to save them too. And if they want salvation, I'm all for it. But if a person is hurting a child or a lady in my prayer, I'm gonna get upset and I'm gonna fight. But the Lord trained me to fight spiritually, so that's the first phase of fighting I began with. So if I ever got in the flesh and beat somebody down, it'll be because of something like that. But nevertheless, the Lord loves us. And so I work on not I have to work on, you know, staying in agreement with the Lord. That's where we live. That's how we, that's how we're strong. And spiritual fighting is much better than natural fighting. I'm not afraid to fight naturally, but I had to temper that, because if you fight naturally, there will be there may be casualties. People may get hurt that shouldn't get hurt. People may get shot that shouldn't get shot. Because bullets go straight. They don't deviate. They don't always go where you want them to go. Nevertheless, but spiritual weapons are perfect. And they're mighty. They can pull down strongholds and prevent Satan's works. And that's my favorite way to fight. But in order to do that, I had to disconnect from emotions. Emotions will... it can change your focus. And we have to stay balanced within. See, if you get too upset, you may jump the gun and do something you shouldn't do. And then you have to pay for it. But if you do it God's way, you have to bridle your anger and come back to balance and do it God's way. That's where we're powerful, see. And in some situations, it's not easy. But if you train for it, you'll be able to master it. We are the people that can master things, but we do it in Him. See, everything that I ever learned from the Lord, He helped me to see things His way. And once I did, I was good. I really thank God for how He helped me to make the right adjustments. And He helped me to do what I normally couldn't do. So, and the Lord taught me when things are going well, that's the best time to learn. So what I did, while things were going good and before the trouble started, I asked God ahead of time. See, I love to deal. The best way to solve problems is do it ahead of time. If you know that they can happen, if you know you're vulnerable to something, and if you know that something's been a problem in the past, and while things are going smooth, and you know your recent problems have been solved and nobody's bothering you, take time and ask the Lord to show you how to handle things that were weaknesses, or things that were troublesome to you, or hurt, or fears. Weaknesses, hurts, and fears. Those are the avenues that the enemy used to enter your life. So, but if you learn God's ways ahead of time, and if you train right, when the worst happens, you'll be ready. You can be prepared, and the Lord will help you prepare. Now, with that being said, there are things that you may not realize or know to ask for. In any case, if you can yield to the Lord, you can still win. And if you get very angry, if you get exceptionally angry, don't talk. Because if you say something while you're angry, your words will motivate you to act on whatever the anger is. So if I feel myself getting angry, I don't talk. I don't say anything. And then I think on the Lord until I can control it. See, sin is something that no man can control. And it's designed to undo you. Sin is designed to take away the heart. It's designed to take your attention off God, blame God, and be an enemy against God. That's how the enemy works. Satan fights with principles, and we fight him back with God's principles. He's trying to take away our strongest principles, but we fight him back with God's principles, and then we win. But see, the Lord has everything figured out, and He knows what He's doing. And see, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. So when the Lord speaks, you can always win, you can sustain, and you can even thrive in life. But as we go forward and we learn his will, learn his ways, you're going to, as you obey it, you'll see the reasons for it. You begin to understand more and more as you go forward in doing the word of God. But see, when people don't receive the word of God and they're not doing it on purpose, then they can't value it because they never see how it works. If you receive the word of God, understanding begins to form. But as you act on it and practice it, you see the reasons for it and you come to full understanding or greater understanding. And then when that happens, and as that happens, your trust level for God goes up. You know, when I asked the Lord to teach me how to love his people, and I started receiving revelation about love and acting on it, I began to understand that he greatly loves me, and my faith level went up. It became easier for me to believe the Lord than it was before all this happened. I used to kind of pray with hope more than faith. But as my love walk increased, my ability to use faith increased. And then I used faith for personal growth more than anything else. I used faith to overcome things that was a problem, more than receiving things. If I owed somebody money, I could believe God for that faster than I could for myself. And in the latter years, I learned to do it both ways. I can believe God for what I need better than I used to. So with God, we grow from glory to glory. What was a problem, we began to master. You know, by his word, we began to master those problems. And God has good things in store. So the Lord, his return is soon and imminent. And so he's working with people that love him. And he's going to increase us. And everything that God has been doing, all the covenants that he's kept all these years, there are people that are growing in the Lord. Now Isaiah, in chapter 6, he let us know that 10% of Israel will return and be received by God. You know, like the substance in a teal tree. Or they will come back and be received, be eaten. Now, in chapter 5, he was talking about the grapes, the wild grapes. They were too, you know, he had to deal with the wild grapes. In chapter 6, he blinded the people. But he said a tenth will return and be eaten. But over in the church of Laodicea, we see Jesus spitting out the Laodicean church if they don't repent. So I'm understanding that the Laodicean church, this morning I understood that they lost their innocence. They're not innocent. In other words, they have sin in their life. And that's why he said he'd spit them out. And they won't repent. That's the problem. If they repent, they wouldn't be the lukewarm church. So many people that have fallen away, at this point, they won't come back. The falling away is, I believe it already happened, but it's going to be proven. And I believe that it happened for a lot of reasons, but it's going to be proven. John also said that they went out from us to prove that they were not with us. And events are going to happen that's going to really expose what people love the most. Remember, there were always tares among the wheat, but they were camouflaged. We couldn't tell. I can't tell a tare from a wheat. I can't even tell who's lukewarm and who's not. So my goal is not to try to point them out. My goal is to warn people not to be lukewarm and not to trust those that disagree with God. So you can't go by, that's too hard to pinpoint for a man with a limited mindset. But God knows his own. Even angels can't do it. They couldn't tell the wheat from the tare. How in the world are they going to be able to tell apart those that are lukewarm or not? Did you know that the Lord has to get the angels to put a mark on us so when the rapture happens, when the rapture happens, they'll know who to take. Only God knows. I say that with laughter because I just thought about that. You know, and then people try to tell you who's who. Every time people do that, they judge people's intent. And you can't, Jesus said, I don't know why people are so bent on doing what Jesus said don't do. But I'm like, really? You can't, you ain't got enough sense to tell who's who. I don't either. If an angel can't do it, I don't expect a man to be able to do it. Remember something about angels. They saw God's face. They know judgment. They know things on a great, much greater level. They've been there and done that. We just getting started. So, it don't matter how long we've been preachers. You know, our lifetime, we live, you understand, we live 10% on average what Adam lived. Adam lived to be 930 years old. He was 70 years shy of a day, according to Enoch, and also the Word of God. If he would have lived to be 1,000 years old, after he ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the Word of God would be broken. He didn't make a day. He did not live one day, one of God's days. He died on Sunday in our covenant week. See, our covenant week is 7,000 years. 6,000 years, man rules it. 7,000, the last 1,000 years, Jesus rules it. So the Word of God was not broken. He didn't make a day, folks. He didn't die one of our days is 24-hour period. That's to us. But a day to God is 1,000 years. See, God, he set up 7 days to get rid of sin. 7 of his days. Because he hates sin. And he don't like it. And he don't want it. He don't want it in his kingdom. So in 7 of his days, it's going to be gone. All right. Forever. Then we're going to enjoy the day of the Lord. But on the day he ate, did nothing happen. Except for the glory of God was not on his life anymore. He wasn't clothed in the glory of God. He broke covenant. Then he started trying to hide. That's what sin does. It destroys your appetite for the things of God. It causes you to be an enemy of God. And the guilt and shame causes you to run from God. Now, God is where we get salvation. God is where we get our hope. God is where we get life. God is where we get correction. But sin wants you to hide to save face and because of shame and guilt. And then it causes you to be angry. And then the enemy tempts you to blame God for the choices that you made. See, sowing and reaping is irreversible. God can get us out of trouble. But not sowing and reaping. Whatever you reap, you're going to reap it one way or the other. A lot of people will go to heaven, but because of their ways and their actions, they're going to have, if what they did was true and sincere and love, the things of love, they're going to have great rewards. But many people are going to have loss of rewards. They did everything wrong. They got saved on their deathbed. They're going to go to heaven naked with no rewards. See, in heaven, you're known as you will be known as you know. People will see what kind of person you really are. If you were sincere, you did the things of God, the garments is going to radiate. If you just got in heaven, your garments are going to expose you for who you are. Now, everybody's going to have on white garments, but everybody's garments not going to shine as bright because of your ways. You can't hide like you can on earth. And on earth, angels can't tell. They got to put a mark on us so that they'll know which ones to snatch away. This is biblical. This is what in Ezekiel chapter 9, you know, the Lord said, go put a mark on everybody that pray and so they'll be spared and slay the rest. And Ezekiel tried to intercede and God wouldn't hear him. Then the one with the inkhorn came back and said, I've done what you said do. Well, they had to put a mark because God knows his. And he knows who's his and who's not. Now, to those who love God and they're getting to know him, God gave me Isaiah chapter 12. And I love this chapter. And chapter 12 reads, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Now these are the, you know, Israel was always, they always got in trouble with God. But not all of them. Some of them stuck with the Lord and they learned his ways. And they believe on their Savior. And it's talking about the day that they do. In that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Now they're in covenant with him, and they're learning his ways. He said, they said, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Now that takes only a person that knows the Lord can write that or say that. Behold, God is my salvation. Now it's personal. I will trust. When people come to the point that they trust him, that means they've been relating to him. Because trust is a belief that comes because of the past. Having relationships with someone is why you trust them. They're trustworthy. They did you right. They did what was honorable towards you. Then he said, I will not be afraid. Now, when Jesus come back, only those that are sincere will rejoice. The sin that people allow in their life will cause them to be afraid of him and run from him. That's why he said, and I used to wonder what he was talking about in Revelation, I think it's 22, that the fearful and unbelieving, you know, he made a distinction about them. When he returns. And let me see which one that is. The fearful and unbelieving. They're going to run from him. As in terror. It may be chapter 21. I'm looking for it. And. The fearful and you know, that goes back to Isaiah 2. That people are going to try to, they're going to cast our idols to the bats. They're going to find hiding places. And they're going to want to be away from God. Adam hid from God. They're going to run from God when he returns. And this is important to understand. The fearful, and, you know, they're fearful and they're unbelieving because they got sin in their life. Only those that are sincere and they're in covenant and they love God, they're not going to run. They're going to rejoice. And see, people they can hide things from me. They can hide things from man, but God knows who's who. And not only are they going to run, they're going to run as in terror because they're sin. They're going to be sin conscious because it's there. See, I found it. Verse 7 says, and this is Revelation chapter 21. Verse 7 says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But verse 8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You don't want that. But those that love God, that's the theme of what I'm talking about. They find, they learn things about him, and they come to a point that they trust him. God is faithful. He keeps covenant. He don't break it. He loves us. He helps establish our lives. Even when we don't understand, he's still working on us. He's still helping us. And all we have to do is trust him. Now trust, like I said before, that comes from relating to him, getting to know him. See, behold, my God is my salvation, my everything, my salvation, my savior, my friend, my counselor. The one that gives me knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And he gives me might when I need it. I will trust and not be afraid. And I say that boldly because I've been in a lot of situations and God have always helped me come through them. He was with me all along. All along the way, when I didn't know what to do, he was there. He helped me to succeed. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He's the one I sing about. He's the one I sing to. He also has become my salvation. He said that twice. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Now he see people that were once out of covenant. Now they see him. Verse 3 says, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Just like we draw water out of a natural well, we have joy and we draw whatever we need out of the wells of salvation. Because our God is the covenant keeper. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. They want to tell others now. Sing unto the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. I see so many Christians, they don't understand what's going on in their life, why things went the way they did. But when I told my mother-in-law just yesterday, when people are in heaven after the rapture and they tell their stories, they're going to know that what God did in their life. He thinks of everything. Sometimes people were, I knew of a man, I heard Kenneth Hagin talk about this, and my pastor reminded me of it. This man, he loved God, but he would go back to the world. And one time he got sick, and he had come back to the Lord, and then he got sick. And Kenneth Hagin was going to pray for him, and he had his eyes closed. He was going to lay his hands on his head and pray for him. And he felt somebody move his hand. And he did it again. He felt somebody move his hand. The third time, he left his eyes open and began to pray for him. And he felt somebody move his hand with his eyes open. And he knew it was the Lord because he didn't see anybody moving his hand. He felt his hand being moved away from the man's head. And he consulted the Lord about it. And the Lord said, don't pray for him. This is as close as he'll be to me. If he dies now, he'll come to be with me. See, the Lord thinks of everything. He can see through time. And I told my mother-in-law, God don't just answer our prayer. He honors our prayer. He knows what we're after. But he thinks of everything. We think limited. I've done that so many times. I got the covenant. We can be healed. But God sees the whole picture. This is what people are realizing here. He has become my salvation, ultimately. He's become my ultimate salvation. He protected me from my own will. And this happens. Sometimes people pass prematurely. There's a reason for it. But when God is involved, it's a rescue. He has become my salvation. Sometimes death is a rescue. How could death be a rescue? Just like I just illustrated. God could see that man would turn from him, but he was in covenant. He wanted to be in covenant, but he was weak. And it was better that he come now than to risk get healed and then go to hell. Which is better? You know, if the Lord let that happen and he knew better, then people say, why did you let it happen? Well, you asked me to. And then the person will say, well, I didn't know. See, people, some people wouldn't believe something like that could happen because they don't know God. But if you've been around him enough, you know how he works. And he'll stop being a mysterious stranger and he'll start being the guy who keeps covenant and who saves us ultimately and protects us from our own choices. Did you know when God give us knowledge and wisdom, he does it in a way so that we don't get in pride? Okay, continuing with verse 5. Sing unto the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth, because the glory is going to cover the earth. Cry out loud and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. I love God. He is our ultimate salvation. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Consider these things. Stay in covenant. Stay in victory. Enjoy life.